Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Just as we were worshiping earlier, I just had this sense, it's almost like I felt the presence of the God just move in front of me. And prophetically, I had this sense that God's saying, like he did to Elijah in 1 Kings, he said, go stand at the mouth of the cave, because I'm about to pass by. So this morning, I think God wants to do something, because he asked Elijah, what are you doing here? So this morning, be expectant to God to ask you, what are you doing this morning? And expect a move of God this morning, because he wants to touch our hearts this morning. He wants to move in our lives this morning. So I want to ask you to open your hearts, to be expectant for Jesus to move in your heart this morning, to do something incredible here in this 11 a.m. So let's just pray. God, I thank you for what you've done already this morning at the 9 and in the 11 so far, God. And I pray that we would just see more and more of your Spirit poured out. Let your Spirit flow. Let us not leave here unchanged by the presence of God. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Excellent. Thank you, God. Thank you, team. How incredible is our team? Worship was unbelievable this morning. Excellent. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Nick, and together with my beautiful wife, Tin Louise, like Pastor Mel said, we run a Connect group, and we serve as elders, and it is truly a privilege to do so. We've got two little children, or not little anymore, they're not little at all, actually. Zara's 10 and Ethan is 12, and they really love this church, really love the house of God, so that's incredible. But the other day, me and my wife, Tin Louise, we had a chat about how much we've changed since we first met each other. Now, I don't mean physically, although... physically in appearance, but although I've 25 kilograms of appearance have changed with me, which is not great. My wife can cook, man, and it's not good for my waist, but that's okay. It's good for my soul. But it's more than that. It's more than that. We've changed in personality. We've changed how we handle challenges and how we understand each other. And I will think, hopefully, that with age comes a bit of wisdom, and with maturity comes understanding with each other and how we relate to each other. And in every season of life brings a new challenge and new ways to express love towards each other, and even how we speak to each other. For example, when our kids were little, I'll come home from work and I'll walk into the house and go, well, what did you do all day? Well, what did you do today? You know, and those of you who have toddlers would know that that's not the best thing to say. It doesn't go down so well when there's a sick kid on the hip and another toddler running around. It's not going to be received really well compared to now in our lives at the moment when I come home and our kids are a bit bigger and I come home and I say, so what did you do all day or do today? It's received a lot differently. And in every season, what I'm trying to say is that timing matters. The timing of our words and our actions can make all the difference. If something is spoken or done at the right time and with the right heart, it brings life. But if it's spoken at the wrong time, it can bring serious harm. And it's the same in our walk with God. A word spoken from the Lord or acted on in the right season at the right time can be the difference between rejection or breakthrough in that person's life. It's like me saying to my wife over a beautiful candlelit dinner, it's romantic, and saying, hey, I love you. That really hits a lot differently than me saying, I love you, in the middle of an argument. It's the same words, but the timing is completely different. So this morning, the title of my message is Obedience in Motion. And I want to look at the scripture, the story from scripture that tells us the importance of timing and obedience to God's word. And it comes from 2 Samuel 11, verse 1 to 3. It says, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. But David remained in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, David got up from his couch and saw from the roof a woman bathing, and she was very beautiful. Now, we've all been in church for a while, and if you haven't, this story is basically the start of the fall of David with Bathsheba. But if you look really closely at the scriptures here, it says, in the springtime, when kings go out to battle. And see, David was in the season of motion, but he chose to sit back on his couch. He stayed at home instead of moving where God was leading him. In springtime, kings go out to battle. David didn't move into his next season. And because he stayed where he was and where he wasn't supposed to be, temptation found him. But if we're quite honest with each other, how many times do we do the same thing? See, we know God is calling us to something. We can feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit telling us to get off the couch and go into battle. But we delay. We say, maybe not right now, Lord. My life is so busy at the moment. See, we feel God saying, hey, I want you to lead in a certain area. I want you to step out and do something in church. I want you to speak to this person. And we go, oh, God, but, you know, there's no margin in my life right now. Maybe later. And we miss the moment. See, right now in this time, in the sort of political time, the social time that we're in, I believe we're in this spring season. We see God's people, his armies moving. We've seen after the assassination of Charlie Kirk and the churches that's burning in Nigeria, that there's a move in the spirit with people that don't follow Jesus. People are coming to church. We see churches filling up. We see young people, you see the young adults movements really moving and growing in incredible numbers. We see youth filling out stadiums because in the springtime, the battle is raging and the armies is moving. And this morning, God's asking you, where are you and are you coming? Will you take up your cross and say, here I am, Lord, use me? See, spring has come and it's time for our obedience to be in motion. So my first point here this morning is Hinehi, here I am. Now Hinehi means here I am. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I looked it up. So this word Hinehi is mentioned over 1,000 times in the Bible, but 7 or 8 times it means something a little bit differently. So Hinehi means here I am 7 times. The other times it sort of means behold. So it's not just here I am. It's a bit more than here I am. It's here I am, God. Look, here I am. See, Hinehi is a word. It's more a heart response of obedience throughout Scripture. It's almost like this heart's desire to say, here I am, God. Look, here I am. Behold, here I am. I look at the first example of this in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 3, and then we're going to jump forward a bit to verse 9 to 14. And it says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Hinehi, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took 2 of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood and the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. When they came, and this is verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid wood on in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham reached out his hand and took his knife to slaughter his son, but an angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, and he said, Hinehi, here I am. Now, who of you know that second Hinehi came a lot quicker than the first one, right? The first one was like, yes, Lord, I'm here. Yes, Lord, I'm listening. I'm here. That's how I see it anyway. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. See, Abraham hears God's voice and he responds straight away. He immediately obeys, rising early in the morning, saddling his donkey, going out straight away. See, I don't want to focus today on Abraham or on Isaac. I want to focus on the ram just for a little bit. We don't really talk about the ram too much. But the other day, I drove from our place where we live into towns. So we live on a little acreage, and there was a little lamb stuck in the fence. Her head was stuck, and she was going crazy because she wants to get out. Because if you've ever seen a trapped animal or a animal that's stuck, they don't just stand there waiting for someone to get them loose. They are moving and grooving to try and get loose, right? You see, as Abraham and Isaac was walking up one side of the mountain, I believe that our God is not a magician that goes poof and there's a ram there. See, as they were walking up in obedience, God was taking care of the provision for his plan that he has in their lives. Now, we've got to understand that this ram is not just any random old ram that was just walking the mountainside by himself. If you look at how people sacrifice and what they had to sacrifice, this ram needed to be clean and blameless and free of blemish, which means God took extra special care to raise this ram way before he called Abraham to do anything to Isaac. See, as we step out in obedience, God moves in provision. Now, the question we got to ask here is, what if Abraham delayed? What if Abraham said, Hinehi, I'm here, God, look, I'm here, and then waited a few days to decide whether it was a good idea to sacrifice his son or not? You know? Have you ever seen a stuck animal? They probably wouldn't have been there a lot longer. So if he waited a few days, the genealogy of Jesus might have read a little bit differently. He is the line of Abraham. And Abraham, because there's no Isaac, perhaps. What I'm trying to say is, when God prompts us to pray for that person, when God has a word to speak for someone, when God says, step into this, our timing really, really matters. This is a call for availability. It's not a call to shame us for opportunities that we might have missed because we didn't step into it. It's a call to action to say, church, when God speaks to us in our daily lives, when God prompts us to do something, the timing we take to do that action really, really matters, or the moment might pass. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for availability. He's looking for obedience in motion. And he's looking for a heart that says, Hinehi, here I am. My next point is these burning bush moments. That's another time that we see this word, Hinehi, again, is in Exodus 4, verse 3, with Moses and the burning bush. And so verse 3 says, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest in Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire and out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him from out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Hinehi. Didn't work. And he said, no, I thought I'll try it. See, God still gives us these burning bush moments today. Divine opportunities where he calls us to step out. The question is, will we notice and will we listen to the call of God? I would say that there's not even a burning bush moment in the world we're living at the moment. Like I said before, there's a season, the springtime season, and there's so much hurt in this world that it's a wildfire around us. If I walk in this world, even just in my work, the amount of hurt, the amount of people that is deeply desiring a touch of the Lord is not even a bush. The fact that we miss the bush is actually incredible because there's bushes of people, opportunities all around us. And somehow we still miss these bushes. I don't know how it's even possible. We're living in such a broken and fatherless world. And God's saying, will you turn aside this morning? Will you say, God, use me? God, here I am, Hinehi. Let me see this bush and let me do something about it. Am I the only one getting excited here this morning? I hope not, because then it's not working. So just last week, excuse me, I travel to Adelaide once a month. Now, one thing you have to know about me is I am an incredible creature of habit. When I go to travel to Adelaide, I stay in the same hotel. I eat the same food. So I get there on a Monday, I go to the office, then I get to the hotel, I get the same food every single week. I take the same road to the same gym because for me it's just some sort of order in the chaos that is my job at the moment. So I'm like, okay, I know this is fine, I'm okay. But this time when I went, my hotel was sold out, it was full. So I had to go stay in a different hotel. This was a problem for me. All right, this is a big problem for me now. The place, because the hotel where I stay, right at the bottom, there's an IGA, so it's nice and easy. I just go down the lift into IGA, get my food, and it's there. Now, it's on the other side of town. There's no food. There's no shopping close by. It's okay. I'm over it. I'm okay. That's not the point. But so on Monday night, I went to training. So I do jiu-jitsu. And how I get there is I take these little scooters. Those little scooters you can hire next to the road, because traffic, parking in Adelaide City is a disaster. So I take these little scooters back and forwards. But now the route to my gym, to my hotel, has changed completely. And there's these things in Adelaide, probably here as well. It's dead zones for these scooters, a place where you're not allowed to go with your scooter, right? So you're driving along, and no one tells you these things. I'm driving along, all of a sudden, the scooter sort of comes to a grinding halt, and I've got to get off the scooter and push the scooter. There's people walking past me because the scooter's hard to push, and it's quite embarrassing and it's quite frustrating. So I went to training. It was really a pain to get there because a lot of dead zones. So I thought, I'll go a different route. I think there'll be less dead zones here. It wasn't. By the third time of me looking fairly silly, pushing a scooter that's slower than people walking, I decided I've had enough. I parked it up and I started walking. Now, I was tired. I put my headphones in. My headphones are flat. If you know me, I don't like running and I don't like walking, right? I think people that run with no one chasing them is a bit crazy. So I don't run, as you can see. But anyway, I'll stop making jokes now. My headphones are flat. I'm far away from my hotel. Now I'm walking. I've got flip-flops on, so it's quite uncomfortable. Anyway, so I'm walking down the road. But it actually turned out a pretty cool night, because how I prepare for a sermon is I do everything in my head. So I think, oh, this would be good if I say this. That's how I prepare. That's the process how I do things. So I'm in my mind. I'm a million miles away walking. I don't actually know the road, which is what I think is down here. And I'm walking and I stop at a traffic light and I push the little button for the green man to come on. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a man walking towards me. But first impressions, you can see that this poor fella has had a really tough life. Hardly any teeth. He's got a swag over his shoulder, which is clearly he's homeless. But now I've made eye contact. You know, that's like, hey mate, how are you? You know, I want to be polite. And I turn around and I'm like, I'm at this point in my sermon, the burning bush moment. This is where I am. Like, yeah, God. So talking about Moses and, you know, God gives us these divine opportunities. And God so very rudely interrupts me. Now, I'm busy preparing a sermon, Lord. And God's saying, you can't teach this if you don't live this. Here's a burning bush moment right here for you. What are you going to do? Hinehi, I'm here, God. So, I got to be honest, just honest to hear. Very reluctantly, I turned around and said, hey, mate, how are you? And so the traffic light turns green. We walk, and we have this beautiful moment where he shares sort of his struggles with addiction and his journey of trying to get clean from what he's on. And I could share the gospel with him. I could share that, you know, but God loves you. He's got a plan and a purpose for you, and he desires intimacy and all these things. And I'd love to say that right then and there, I led him to Jesus, but I didn't. But I'm praying that the words that I spoke, the seeds that was planted in his life, someone else would water, and he would turn to Jesus one day. But thinking back now, as I was preparing further, I realized that as I stepped out in obedience, God had provided something long before he even spoke to me. Now, Adelaide, it's a small town. Why is my hotel booked out? Right? Dead zones, flat headphones. See, God had set this up beautifully to have a divine encounter with someone that desperately needs Jesus. But it would all have been for nothing if I didn't say, well, here I am, God. Use me. And in the springtime season, church, there are people in your lives, people in your world, people that you might pass by, there are burning bush moments, and God wants us to step into these moments and say, Hinehi. My next point is the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. Now, we've been hearing this for quite some time. In church, year after year, we hear preachers say that revival is coming. Revival is coming to Rockingham. Revival is coming to WA. It's coming to Australia. Revival is coming. We've heard this. And I believe it's true. Like I said, I believe we're in this springtime season. but I don't believe it's going to happen just inside these four walls. Revival is coming out there. Don't get me wrong, I think it is truly incredible for us to be slain in the Spirit here on a Sunday morning. It's truly building up of this church when we speak in tongues. It's incredible to prophesy and do these incredible things. But for us to step into what God has for us to step into the purpose and the plans He has for our lives, is out there. It's in the workplace. It's next to the road. If you look at John 4, revival began next to a well in Samaria. That Samaritan woman ran to the town after Jesus spoke to her. And she told everyone about Jesus. Obedience in motion. There was a lot of motion. She was running. Bad joke, sorry. In Acts 8, revival reached Africa when Philip shared the gospel with an Ethiopian eunuch. And revival came to Africa. That's incredible. It didn't happen inside the church. It happened inside the temple. It happened on the road. It happened next to a well. And God is calling us in this season to do the same. Revival starts with one obedient yes. Now, I hear what you're saying because I say the same thing. I'm not a Billy Graham, all right? I'm more than likely, if God willing, it would be great, but I'm probably not going to speak to a million people. I'm probably not going to fill up stadiums and share the gospel with millions of people. Would that be great? Yes. But that was Billy Graham. But I'm called to be a Billy Graham for one or two people that God brings over my path. And that's every single one of us. Our yes is so important. And the worst thing, the thing that I find is sometimes I'm scared if I share the gospel with someone that they might ask me a question that I don't know. You guys the same? Is that just me? The beauty of doing a life with Jesus is we can say, hey, I don't know the answer, but I'll ask Jesus this morning, tomorrow morning when I speak to him in my quiet time. Because we have this. We have this incredible opportunity to share the gospel with Jesus. We don't need all the answers. Why? Because we know we speak with Jesus. He speaks to us. He desires his intimacy with us, this time with us. He desires us to hear him. So we have boldness to say, hey, I don't have all the answers, but I know this, that God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. I believe that Jesus loves you and he cares for you, and the pain you're going through now, he can heal that. That's the answers people need. People don't care if it doesn't make scientific sense or this. Who cares? We know that Jesus speaks to us. We know that he's the healer of our hearts. That's more powerful than having all the answers in the world. That's all the answers we need. I'm not saying not have the answers, but I'm saying it's okay if you don't, because we've got better answers. And not to be scared of that. Don't let that allow you to say no and say, no, I can't do that. I'm too scared. I'm not eloquent enough. Neither was Moses. Neither was Moses, but he said yes. And look what Moses did. He freed his people. God desires an obedient yes. In Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38, Jesus says, the harvest is ready. Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Church, the harvest is ready. The Spirit is moving. And like God said in Isaiah, who shall we send for us? And our response needs to be, Hinehi. Hinehi here. Here I am, God. I'm here and I'm ready. My prayer is that we will not become people that would wait for God even to finish his sentence. If there's a burning bush, God says, hey, Conan, I've got a lot of... Hinehi. Hey, there's someone there. No, don't worry about it. I'm there. We're so excited. We're so on fire for the things of God that before God even finishes his sentence, he just points and we're there. That's our yes. The desire of God's heart is our yes. But it's not a yes, I'll do it in 2 weeks. It's a yes right now because we don't want the moment to pass. We don't want the ram to get loose from the thicket and we miss the moment. Because timing matters. Now, I'm in this WhatsApp group. I know two people in the WhatsApp group. I've been added to recently. Don't know anyone else in it. And this one guy asked a question on this group, and he said he just wants to know what the other guys think of what a biblical church looks like and what biblical growth looks like. Now, I tend to overthink these things. I don't know this guy. I'm not going to answer because I don't know anyone else on there. But in my mind, it sort of really consumed my thoughts. What does it mean to have a biblical? He said, can you please answer out of the Bible? And so for me, I'm like, no, I've got to focus on my sermon. And God's like, but this is part of your sermon because it's important. This is so important. And I believe it's this. A church that looks like a church in Acts is a church that added to their numbers daily and made disciples for all who attended. We see this in the church of Acts. They added to their numbers daily and they made disciples. I see this in nations. I really do. A church that looks like the church in Acts is a church that's not lukewarm in their faith or their deeds, because God will spit us out. Either hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. If God speaks, go, maybe later. No. Yes, God. Because why? Because we're hot. We're on fire for the Lord. This is the season. This is the spring season. Why am I the only one getting excited here? I'm sorry. Come on, church. And I believe it's a church that has not lost its first love for Jesus. That infatuation time when we just came to Jesus, where you can't wait to open your Bible. You can't wait to read. You can't wait to spend time with Jesus so He can just tell us our next step. That's a church that I want to be a part of. A church I want to be a part of is a church that God looks at and goes, wow, look at my bride. She's beautiful. She's beautiful. There's all these burning bushes and they're actually attending to them. There's a yes. There's a yes before I even speak. I just point and they go. That's a church because He's coming back for His bride. He's coming back for His church. The question is, are we going to be sitting on the couch? Or are we going to march with God's armies? And He's asking us this morning, where are you? My next point is the knock at the door as the band joins me. Now, this next passage is out of Song of Solomon's. So Lord help me. It's a verse that's spoken really deeply to me because it's a picture of love and longing and reminder that intimacy requires responsiveness. Now, just a quick preface on Song of Solomon's. It's a very weird book. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go and read it and you'll find out. It's just rather provocative backwards and forwards between man and woman. But what we might see as sexual, God meant for intimacy. The main theme behind Song of Solomon is that God desires, like the man desires the woman, God desires His church to be intimate in moments with Him. But more importantly, God desires intimacy with you and I. And so in Songs of Solomon 5 verse 2 to 8, it's her speaking now. She says, I slept, but my heart was awake. A sound, my beloved is knocking. And He says, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is wet with dew and my locks with drops of the night. And here she speaks and she says, I had put off my garments. How could I put it on? I had bathed my feet. How could I soil them? My beloved put His hand on the latch and my heart was thrilled inside me. I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, and my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the bolt. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned and gone. My soul failed me when He spoke. I sought Him, but found Him not. I called Him, but He gave no answer. The watchmen found me. As I went about the city, they beat me, they bruised me, they took away my veil, those watchmen of the wall. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him I am sick with love. She hears her beloved's voice calling, open to me, my love, but she hesitates. By the time she opens the door, He's gone. See, the moment had passed. See, our obedience needs to be in step with Jesus' calling. When He calls, we answer. This is what delayed obedience looks like. When God knocks and we hesitate, sometimes the moment have moved on. It's just me, or some nights when we sit in front of the TV or you're busy with something and you feel God calling you to come and spend time with Him. It's just me, and you can feel God, Holy Spirit, just sort of pulling you, just tugging at your heart and say, hey, go and read your Bible. Have you realized that if you go in that moment, you've got this incredible time with Jesus, and it's beautiful. But sometimes I say, oh God, I just started watching Netflix. I've just turned the TV on. I've been so busy today. And we wait 1 or 2 days, and then we want to go spend time with Jesus, and it seems a bit flat. Is it just me? Or sometimes we get a word for someone, and we hesitate to give them that word. And then when we feel like it, we go and give them a word from God, and it misses the mark a little bit. And you're like, oh, that was anticlimactic. It's not what I was expecting. But see, the moment had passed. God wants us to be obedient and to be in motion to when He speaks. See, as we move into this new season, when God stirs, when He knocks, let us be a people that is in motion when He speaks. Let us not stay on the couch when it's time to go into battle. Let us not delay when the Spirit whispers, go. Let us be ready to say, Hinehi, here I am, God. Behold, God, here I am, use me.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.